So we're going to start in 3, 2. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Not Gonna Lie podcast, our latest and brand new episode where we talk about all the real things in life. Because again, growing up, I thought being an adult is really just making money, buying houses, properties, and then you don't deal with anything else. Apparently, that was wrong. Now, exciting news. I am here to announce as well that our podcast has officially merged together with TheBridge.Asia, which is an academic consultancy helping students in their admission process towards higher education, university, or college. And obviously, we are here with a guest who will be explaining more about that. I am super excited about this part, and I will also be talking about what's my role and what the merging is all about. So, without further ado, here I have with me my mentor, a leader who I was incredibly blessed to have work under, who took me under her wing when I was starting out teaching, and again, someone who I genuinely respect as a fellow teacher, as a leader, as a good friend as well. So here is Nora, who is excited to be here with us and going to explain what TheBridge.Asia is all about. So Nora, the floor is yours.
Thank you, William. So blessed and so honored to be here on your podcast. And I'm here to tell you a little bit more about TheBridge.Asia, which you actually have both William and myself. We're both the college counselors for TheBridge Asia. So basically, what exactly do we do? What we do is we actually help and guide children towards, like what William said, towards higher education. But how exactly do we do that? And, you know, applying to university is a whole complex process, especially if you're applying to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And universities has different requirements for different countries. Even then, within different states, they want different things. And yes, there are a lot of resources out there in Google, but it is everywhere and everything all at once, right? So what we do here at the Bridge is we sit down with your child, or we sit down with you if you're the child. And we take you through to find out exactly what you want to do in university. And I think most importantly, we try to match you with the best fit university. Because I think too many educational consultancies, so to speak, they try to just, if someone comes in, they say that, hey, I want to go to Harvard. And then they just try to work your application towards Harvard. But you must realize that once you're in Harvard, it is 4 years in Harvard and beyond. So is it really a good fit for you? Is it really something that you eventually will thrive in? Because when you find the best fit university, you naturally will thrive, you'll be successful, you'll be happy. And then after that, success is definitely is going to be the outcome and what you want to do.
For sure.
So I am collaborating with a number of experts here. I'm really very blessed that everyone's coming together on board with this. So we do not just look after your academic progress, so to speak. But what we do is we take you through, depending on when you join us, whether from grade 9 or 10, 11 and 12, we try to guide you towards your strength. And then we are working with a Gallup certified coach to find out what your strengths exactly are by taking an assessment. You have a one-on-one coaching. And then after that, your counselors will then try to work with you, trying to see your subjects, how you guys are progressing, what should your subject combinations be, what sort of CCAs you should be doing in order to be or to have a best fit to university for higher education. And then because we also understand that that is a very critical period in your life, it is highly stressful period, we are also bringing in counselors on board as in guidance counselor to make sure that you are well looked after emotionally, mentally, as well as academically. So this is where the bridge is, where all of us coming together to help you cross to the greener side.
All right. So that's a lot. That's actually a lot of things and a lot of process. Now, like you mentioned, I'm also, and this is where I'm going to be throwing a caveat here, where you, when you listen to this podcast, obviously there's going to be a vested interest, because I'm here to also promote the Bridge Asia. I'm going to throw it out there, because fair is fair. It is what it is. So when you listen to every part of it and how we are setting it up, just keep in mind, you are free to do your own research, talk to other consultancy, and that is fine, right? At the end of the day, you choose what's best for you, right? And we're going to get into some, you know, so I want to ask and guide us through some of the things that, realistically speaking, what are some of the things that students have to go through, and some of the students and our students have gone through? Because your best fit is really something that you have to decide based on really open mind and your research and your conversation with your parents, knowing where you want to go and all of those things. Our part is really based on just our own experiences when we talk to students, when we have students coming to us, when we have senior students who wanted to go to different different universities. Some have three of their top universities in three different continents. How do they prepare for three different things? Because in three different continents have three different requirements. And so just based on all of those accumulated experiences that we have, this is how we put together some of the things that we know have worked, and some of the other things that we know could have been used as well during our years guiding students. And so this is something that we believe will help all of you guys, right? So so just want to throw it out there so you guys know. Now, Nora, I do want to ask you a bit, though, because I think for most of us, for most students and parents, they know that the process for applying to university is really just contact the university, have them, you know, sign up to their email. You know how, like, you go to the website, give us your contact information, and then we will have our admission officer representative contact you at X time, hours, whatever date, etc. That's all we know, and the basic information that we normally have in our brain is that if I want to apply, I need to I need to maintain my good score, I need to write essays, my resumes and all those things. I'm gonna send it, and that's out of my hand. I'm done. I'm just gonna leave it to God, to higher being, to higher power, to whoever, to even the admission officers, and really rely on their mercy for me to get in, right? So that's on average, I believe, what we know as a general public. But can you just share a bit more detailed in terms of what actually goes into the whole process of it?
Okay. I wish it was that simple, William. If it was, it makes things so much easier for everyone, schools, counselors, students, parents alike. But unfortunately, it is not. It is very complex. And it is actually something that students and parents need to start thinking since grade 9. Because whatever subject combination that they're taking in grade 9 is going to impact whatever that they'll be taking in high school, be it IB or A-levels, and which eventually will then impact to whether or not it meets the requirements of the university. So a lot of parents and students do not see that. Yeah. And this is where the Bridge comes in. We're here because of our experience. I've been doing this for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And so obviously we have seen some things exactly like what you said. And the best time to come in is really to hire one would be grade 9 and 10. Okay, so what does it look like? So technically, obviously, for all universities, academic excellence is a must. Mm-hmm. Because looking at higher education, you need to show that you've got the academic or the intellectual prowess to be there. But it is not as simple as that, because if you go to any website of any US universities and then you look at their requirements, exactly what they are looking for, they'll tell you they're looking for someone who's responsible, who's a leader, who makes changes to the community. I mean, like, what is that, right? How do you
None of those are academic excellence, by the way. None of those are gradables.
Yeah. So what does it mean by responsible? How do you show that? Or being a leader, is it just enough to be a leader as in the class president? Mm-hmm. Or do you have to do a lot more? Because at the end of the day, universities wants to see someone who makes full use of their time outside of the school curriculum. So it is not enough to just be in school, study well, go back home and, you know, yes, and then that's it and I'm done.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're looking at top universities, the Ivy League, and even for top universities in UK, they want the X factor. So what is this X factor? And the more websites you read, the more Reddit threads, you know, because everyone keeps saying that, oh, I know because of this. But a lot of things you get a point of view are actually from students who are already in the university, and that's not much. There's only one point of view, because that child or that particular student have just applied for that university and can only tell you his or her experience from that particular university. Mm-hmm. But counselors like us at the Bridge, we have seen a whole wide array, and we are, you know, we're able to come in and bridge that that gap to fill up the kind of loop that you might have to tell you that this is the way to do things. So choosing a couple or what we call it, like a long list of colleges, is just one. Mm-hmm. So you can choose, and then based on what exactly, even then you need a consultant to come in to guide you. Yeah. Are you looking at just the course? Are you looking at what kind of degree it is? Are you looking at how many years? Are you looking at where it is, the location? So how then do you weigh, you know, all this relative importance? How do you choose one over the other? That by itself needs to be guided. Mm-hmm. And if you're choosing someone who comes in, who has, basically they're representing a university. So there are actually agents out there who represent universities, mm-hmm, who do not charge you any amount because they get paid by the universities.
Yeah. Commissions, so basically.
So obviously, let's say if I'm doing that and I want you to go into this X university, I will try all means to make sure that you get into X university, be it or not, it is your best fit, it is good for you, it is exactly what you need. And I'll tell you, oh, this university is so great, is this and that. Because I get paid by the university. And then when you go into university, then reality kicks in. You know, oh gosh, am I doing this for the next 4 years?
Yeah.
Is this where my education is really going to be? Are you more like a city? Are you more like a suburbs? There's all these things that we'll be exploring with you at the Bridge.
Yeah.
And of that, from a long list, there has to be a short list, because you cannot be applying to 400 universities. I mean,
well, you can try. You can try. Like, financially speaking, it'll be ridiculous, but you can try for sure.
You can try. And you do not sleep, you do not eat, you have
no
other boy. Writing essays, then sure, you can, right? And for UK, for example, because you'll be applying using a platform called UCAS, you can only apply to 5 universities at once. Mm-hmm. 5. And, you know, it is very precious. So for US universities, as you're applying, how do you, from long list, how do you shortlist it? So at the Bridge, what we do is we try to go through that with you as well and help you make the sort of decisions to shorten that long list from 40 to maybe 10 or 15. Mm-hmm. And then once that short list, research whole nightmare is over, you think that, okay, this is what I want, then it begins. Mm-hmm. What exactly begins? We'll be looking through at your resume to make sure that it is, again, a good fit for this university that you've shortlisted. There'll be the essay part of writing. And essay is just not sitting down and just type whatever you want, because different universities have different requirements. And experienced counselors will be able to take you through as to exactly how to write, what to write, how to show you in a very unique way. I mean, yes, granted, there are plenty of samples out there on Google. But those samples are what make that person them.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It is not going to work out for you, because if you have your resume and then you have the things that you have done, your extracurricular activities and everything else, and if you're going to write like student A, for example, these two do not match. Your resume as well as your essay. So this is where, again, a guidance counsellors, a counsellors come in, where we are guiding you through exactly on how to make it more aligned, mm-hmm, aligned to the mission and vision of the university. And after all of those essays, usually is about a couple of drafts, I think the maximum I've had was about 6 to 7 drafts because we're just writing and rewriting again. And if you write well, maybe 2 to 3 drafts. Mm-hmm. Once you're done, then again, when you apply, how exactly do you apply? The whole application portal is not as straightforward as it is. Everything is strategic. Like, what exactly do you put in there such that it brings out the best in you? We will be looking through, we'll be helping you. And then you apply. And when you apply, you get your offers. And then how do you choose? Which universities, right? Mm-hmm. Then we come in again and then to give you some advice as to how then you can make a decision. Because you have to make a decision for US universities by 1st of May.
Yeah.
And you need to sign and say that, okay, now I'm going to go for this university. But how do you choose? So it is technically you need guidance every step along the way. Mm-hmm. It is a lengthy process. It's not as simple as, oh, I fill up my name, someone calls me up, and yes, that's it, and I get into it. It just doesn't work that way. I really wish it worked that way, but it does not. For the past 9 years, it just does not. It just gets more and more complicated with the COVID examples we've been having in.
Oh, yeah. And with the
situations, we've got a lot of gap year students. Mm-hmm. We've got students who are, they are deferring their applications. So all this competition just making it even more stiff.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I think like one of the things that we kind of like I have to highlight again is the fact that there's going to be a pushback, especially when talking about, yeah, but that's fine, especially with essays and essay samples and all those things that we can find. There's going to be like inner students that they can reach out to, seniors from their previous schools or their current schools maybe, and talking about, you know, how they did it, what they wrote inside of their essays and all those things. Now, I just want to touch point really quickly, and I want to, you know, talk about something more interesting, which is about like we started grade 9. So, but before that, I just want to touch point on this part. Again, the reason why they made it because they made their essays uniquely them.
Right.
If let's say I'm going to do exactly what they did. I'm going to take the same subject, the same co-curriculars, joining the same organizations, be the same leader, doing exact same all those things. But guess what? Unique means there's only one. Right. If you're doing the same thing by replicating that one, you're not going to be unique. You're just going to be a template.
It doesn't work.
Exactly. And universities are not looking for that. They're looking for, again, in their websites, they're going to say leaders, world changers, effective whatever, and all kinds of like, it's not going to work. So that's why the whole process of guiding students is really finding, and I want to go back again to the very first thing that Nora said about guiding to find out your strengths, right? Which is like we have Gallup and we have other things in place as well to find out who are you, what you are drawn to, your interests, your strengths, and how do you operate in this world? Because here's also the other reality that we have to talk about and I have to address really. A lot of people, and it's more common than you might think, change their major in university after their first or second year.
That's true.
So the whole grind of getting to a university, yes, it's a grind. It's going to be a celebration, really, when you get accepted. But guess what? That's just your first door, your first step. You still have to go through a series of doors. 4 years, if you take medical, that's 8+ years. It takes so much more than just saying, I want to get to a university or I want to get to the Ivy League and all of those things. But if that's your entire thing, and apparently, because you didn't do a lot of research, your major, you hate your major. Once you get to an Ivy League, guess what? You're still going to struggle. And we have seen, we have heard, we have experienced, we have friends even, and even students, really, who are going through some of those decisions. And we are here to hopefully help you avoid all of those things, right? And so I guess that really ties into like what does it look like then for a grade 9 student, because it is fairly uncommon right, to start the entire process from grade 9. Like, grade 11 would already be considered a step ahead, right? But when you talk about, like, really ideally speaking, students should start from grade 9. So how does that look like in terms of just... Because you mentioned about how it starts from subject combination.
Right.
Right. So what would it look like for grade 9 students who I might have to also kind of like put it out there. The pushback would be, I barely know myself. How would I be able to know what major I would want to be in and what university I want to get into, because I am not there yet. So what do you mean by starting at grade 9?
Okay, so for someone who doesn't know what he or she wants, I think technically a counselor will be there to advise you to take specific or some subjects which do not narrow you down too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have a chance to explore later on when you're doing your IB or A-levels,
mm-hmm.
which eventually then, by then, hopefully you would more or less have certain inclination towards a particular field.
Okay.
Right. But if you're just doing certain subjects because you like it, or because your friends are there, or because you like a particular teacher without thinking ahead, which means that it will spill over to grade 11 and 12, because a lot of grade 11 and 12 would prefer that you have a specific like prior knowledge before you can just take something in grade 11 and 12,
mm-hmm.
which means that you then have no choice but to then choose a major based on that grade 11 and 12, and it all starts from grade 9. And okay, so technically it's how I look at it. For the whole UC application, I can just break it down to three different phases.
Mm-hmm.
You have the explore phase, you got the engage, and then you've got the execute.
Mm-hmm.
So the execute stage belongs to grade 12 only,
mm-hmm.
or junior college too, because you are merely applying.
Mm-hmm.
So which means that the explore stage needs to start at grade 9. Explore what exactly? Even exploration has to be guided. Mm-hmm. It can't just be, oh guys, you know, just explore. But explore what? So a counselor that working with someone in grade 9 will get them, or parents and both child, to start thinking as to, are we looking a little more at US? Are we looking a bit more at UK? Start guiding, given more resources as to the different types of system that US and UK universities are. Are you more of a liberal arts sort of college? And that will go hand in hand with a guidance counselor coming in, who will be checking in with your child's emotional well-being once a year, over 4 years, that means grade 9, 10, and 1, 11, and 12, with a brief report as to basically how he or she is coping, what sort of personality he or she is, which then we'll be able to more or less have an idea of basically, I think because of this sort of personality, maybe she will be able to do more like a liberal arts in the US kind of setting. And we can also start to come in and advise a little bit more about explore different types of sports that's needed, or different types of activities.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're looking at Canadian universities, US, and even top tier universities, they love a holistic, all-rounded learner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So academic aside, when we're looking at non-academic, someone is there to make sure that they are looking at not just doing sports all the way. So if someone is very good at sports, tennis, football, basketball, it's still sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a counselor coming in, tell them, okay, no, I think you might want to look a little bit more like Olympiads right now to give you, this and that, pointing you towards the right direction as to where you can, what you can do with that, to give that picture of a holistic sort of learner. So it's where explore comes in. And then engage is also, engage, what does it mean? Engage means that you are trying to find more resources by speaking and engaging in someone. So this is where our webinars will come in. You'll be engaging with certain subject experts, or experts coming in to give a talk where you can have your Q&A, you can ask. Also would be for university reps, open houses. And I know some schools, they do that. They do have their own college counselor. But let's also be honest here. Most of the time, college counselors have got about 100 caseload under them. So as much as they really try to make sure that they are helping you, eventually at the end of the day, your application is not personalized, it's not customized, it's not individualized to you. Right? They just make sure that you're meeting the deadlines. And yeah, you write good essays and all, but they do not really work with you on a really personalized basis, which is where we come in.
Okay. Okay. So, that reminds me of something that you mentioned before. And when it comes to like some of the requirements put out there by top universities in their websites, the talking about leadership, you mentioned something about is it enough to be a student leader, really? Either that is a student council or class leader or leader of a project. Is that enough? And you mentioned that no, it's actually looking outside of their academic bubble, right? And I just want to, because like what you have been saying about exploring and engaging really in those phases, grade 9, 10, some 11 as well, because execute belongs to grade 12. So does that mean, especially if the universities are looking outside and you the phrase that you said that you use was to use their time well, right? What does that look like? So does that mean they have to join an organization? Do they have to create something? Do they have to start, I don't know, a social project or internship? What does that actually look like? And how big of a deal if they don't do that?
Okay, let's look at Stanford, for example. Last year itself, there are 44,000 applicants just applying to Stanford. And out of these 44,000, only 2,000 were accepted or offered. I mean, yikes, those are the
That is
numbers.
crazy.
It
Oh.
is. It's crazy competitive. And
Oh
out
my
of this
gosh.
2,100, only 13% are international students.
Oh wow. Oh wow.
So if you think being in a classroom, just being a class president, is going to make the cut for something like Stanford, imagine what this other 44,000 no, other students have. So you have to go something bigger. It doesn't have to be huge such that it changes the world. Because I think university admission officers are aware that at the end of the day, these are high school students. You can't go there and just stop climate change. Not all can be Greta, you know? So then how, what can you do? So basically what we do here is we help you to make sure that there's consistency in your resume, consistency in what you are doing to show that you got leadership qualities all the way. And we help you to build up your leadership skills. So let's say you start from grade 9 as a class leader. That's great, it's fantastic. I'm not discounting that. So the next step would be we then we working with you on how you can then use that leadership from a class leader. You can try to be a captain of basketball. So from one small class, it became something else, right? And then we start to brainstorm things with you as to how then can you take that leadership to greater heights. So if you want to work with basketball itself, how can as a leader or a captain in basketball now be bigger? So we will brainstorm with you as to perhaps you might want to run clinic, basketball clinics for the younger kids in the school. Or you might want to come up with a competition where everyone comes together, or you might want to then teach underprivileged students basketball. So that's a leader's own way, but still using basketball. So you can just expand up bigger and bigger. And we'll be sitting down with you. We're looking at your limitations, what things that you can and cannot do. And we will then guide you through and suggest things for you. But if you do not want to do basketball, we encourage you to maybe form or start an NGO. And if you are really excited and passionate about basketball, then it could be an NGO that is related to something about, basketball. It could be raising funds for students, before Paralympics. So it's still beyond, if your strength is in basketball, we're not discounting that, but we're helping you to use that to then come up with what makes you, but still being a leader and in your own field, whatever that you like, but you're making it bigger each and every time. And when you're coming in us with grade 11 and 12, there's really it's limited in what we can do. But what we do is we'll work with what you already have, and we'll just make sure that your essays and your resumes are aligned to bring up the best of you. But you're coming to us with great now, there's so much we can do with you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think that especially the numbers itself, right? 44,000, let's say half of that is international, and 13% is small. That's like a lot. That's like not a lot of people. Sorry, no. Sorry. 2,000 And 13% of that 2,000 is right. international students. So right. that means technically it's only about 260 students. 260 from how many countries, how many applicants, and again, if you're relying only on your academic prowess, right? So you get all the A stars in Cambridge, you get all sevens for your IBs, right? Bravo for you. But guess what? There will be literally thousands to tens of thousands of other students who also have those. So I guess like that just goes to show why it is highly recommended for students and parents, especially, to start thinking about what are some of the ways that we can do early on to gain that advantage, to gain that edge over other students. Because the reality is top universities are coveted because they are the top, both academically and then also for networking, for future opportunities, and so on and so forth. And the reality is there are limited seats. They're not going to open the door wide open and just accept everyone, because they're not all about quantity, they are all about quality, right? So
the outcome of K-12 education is obviously I mean, you study so hard for IB and A levels for junior college 2 and grade 12. It's not just so that you can just get your A's or get your 45 for IB, but it's obviously to get a place into university. So it's extremely high stake. This is the whole point of going through this whole education from K-12, just so that you end up in higher education.
Yes, for sure. Again, all of these things sounds scary, but feel free to reach out to any of us through our website, www.thebridge.asia. There will be a link and descriptions on our socials at thebridge.asia on Instagram. It's going to be on the YouTube channel link description as well. And there will be some form of links as well throughout our own personal handles so that you can check out, get in touch with us, and all of those things. I just want to throw it out there first. We are contactable, and I will remind everyone again what the website is towards the end of this podcast. But some of the points that we have talked about is that we understand what is at stake, what's the pressure of having to go through all of these things. Because just to give you a picture, you're a grade 12, you haven't started. You just finished grade 11, which is already intense. You come into school realizing, oh no, I have to send my application, and this is August. I have to send my application before December, because some universities would require me to send applications in October, November, and December. If I want to start brainstorming in January, I'm already late 2 months. I'm behind 2 months. Yeah. And so it's not as if grade 12, I just have to sit down, focus on my admission process, and that's it. No, because you still have to study. You still have to learn. You still have to go through your grade 12 content, be it your A-levels or your IB content. And there's a lot. There's TOK, there's your EEs, there's a whole lot of other things that you have to go through as an IB student, for sure. As an A-level student, you have to then double check again. Have I done my AS for a particular subject? If not, I have to study by myself. I have to do the AS exams and then do the A-level exams and hope to God I manage to do it. If not, I retake it, and that means everything is pushed back again. All of those things are stressful. Plus, have I done my resumes? Have I done my research? Have I gone through all of the requirements? Have I, you know, have I built a resume that would be attractive for universities to offer me certain things? All of those things combined. are way more than I would probably say any student should ever have to endure, but that's the reality. That's the reality of the world that we live in right now, because I think personally just, and I think Nora can agree with me as well, we are at such a time of overly saturated world that is filled with too many educated academics that have not taken the time to build their own unique brand and unique person, and it becomes an overly bloated groups of students that universities have to have no choice but to be very selective. So how do you be, you know, a unique individual that shines really in the middle of that entire group, right?
But so, using your strength, so it takes, it's not as tiring as it's supposed to be if you're just trying to shine, but you have no idea what your strengths are. So let us help you discover what those are. And I think the best part about the bridge is that every single one of us here are our former educators, mm-hmm. as in we all taught high schools, mm-hmm. and we all know exactly the whole process. We're not just a fresh college student advising you on, you know, what you should be doing, what you should not be doing. We are all high school educators, and we know exactly the whole setting, the whole setup. How stressful is it? And in the world of Google, everyone can just Google, and everyone knows what to do to get to university. How stressful is that? I mean, so while you've got resources out there and online resources, it's also a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because now everyone knows, how then can you be different from everybody else? Let us help you with that. Yeah. Personal branding is definitely one of our top priority here at The Bridge. And it is called The Bridge because we are bringing you across together.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. So that has been an awesome talk. Again, what are some of the things that we provide, some of the things that we have set up, we have put together, really also talking about mental health, mental well-being. And we talked about in some length about how stressful it is. And so at the end of the day, if you start in grade 9, God bless you. God bless your parents, really. It is going to be a longer journey than your grade 12 seniors, for sure. So that's why we have our counselors in place, because we want to make sure that you are properly taken care of as well.
Right.
As much as this is a business, as much as, yes, we do have certain fees, certain rate. But again, the whole idea is that we are being mindful of what one particular student, and we're not talking about, oh, we are a counselor of like thousands of students. No, we are counselors for one student, right? Focusing on you, really putting all the specialists that we believe would help you have that edge over other students, right? For the process of applying to universities, right? So that's why, as educators, we have seen the good, the bad, the ugly of the entire process. Because how do you brainstorm out of, I need to go to that university, but my scores are not good. What are some ways that I can figure out?
Right.
We have those experiences. We have had those talks, those nightmare talks with our ex-students, unfortunately. So we do have those already in our, you know, long list of experiences. And again, take it with a grain of salt. Do your own research. Talk to other consultancies. See what they have. See what they have in the whole arsenal of their, you know, consultancy. Right. And compare it with us. Right. At the end of the day, what matters most is really you choosing the right fit for you. that's all that matters, right? Regardless of who the guiding, who the academic counselors are, if it's not the right fit, then it's still going to be a struggle, right? You will have to do your own research. All we can do is to let you know, number one, look at how we put everything together, and you would know it is set up mindfully, so thoughtfully, of all the things that we believe a student should have in terms of support, not just choosing, exploring, and executing, but really knowing your strength, making sure that you stay for the 4 years in your college and your university, thriving in your in the major that you want to be part of, choosing the right fit in the end. After you have all of those things combined, and then you got an acceptance letter from different universities, still, what's the best fit for you? Nora mentioned about whether you are a suburb person or a city person. Guess what? That matters.
A lot. It matters
if,
a lot.
Exactly. Like, if here's the thing, right? Studying for 4 years after 12 years is still as stressful as the 12 years, or even more so. If you are a city person and you live in a suburb and you hate the fact that you don't have your favorite restaurant, it matters. It might sound very trivial. I get it. But even that ounce, because you will have a tipping point in your study, you hate it, you miss home, and you don't have your favorite burger. It matters. Versus your favorite burger is two blocks away. You can go there, have something quick, get home, refresh, and recharge. All of those things, if you haven't thought about it, well, guess what? We're now saying it. So, last thing. Check our website, www.thebridge.asia. It's simple enough. Think of us as the bridge. We're connecting you. We're walking with you through, right?
The whole.
And yeah, that's about it. Like, we are here to help you. I have no other way to explain it but that. And for me personally, I'm excited because it's gonna be a blast for myself. I've been working with students for 7+ years, working with students, checking their essays, talking to them, discussing, brainstorming, and all those things for the past 4 years, right? And now that we are building something meaningful as educators, I can't help but be excited for this entire process. So, with that said, thank you for listening. If you're still here and if you're still at this end point of the podcast, thank you for staying interested. Congratulations. You have sit through for about 45 minutes. And I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for your support. Click like. Put this on your notification. So in case we have new episodes, which from here on forward, it's going to be Not Gonna Lie Podcast Under the Bridge. Pun intended. more podcasts, more episodes to come, specifically talking about just the reality of higher education. What does it mean? And again, the disparity, the gap between being a senior, grade 11, grade 12, and then lack of exploration from grade 7, 8, 9, right? Some of the things that we're going to talk about, we are going to cover, and hopefully it sheds some light. It gets some thoughts going. So yeah. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to add this to your Spotify podcast that you want to listen later. There's going to be more episodes to come. Super excited. And last but not least, www.thebridge.asia.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much. We are out. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.